Thankfully, we serve a holy God. He is good in all His ways. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to the book of Micah. And we're going to be looking and seeing the prophecy that Micah made about a little town called Bethlehem. Bethlehem's a very special place to us today. It was not a very special place at that time. And it was one that Micah, who is not a well-known prophet, I made a prophecy about Jesus Christ that many times we miss, but we want to take a few minutes this morning and take a look in the book of Micah chapter 5 and his prophecy about the birth of Jesus Christ. In 1865, shortly after the Civil War, a pastor of Holy Trinity Church in Boston was helping with a Christmas Eve service in Bethlehem of Judea. And he later wrote about his feelings as he descended from Jerusalem into Bethlehem. He was riding on a horse. And he said, "I remember standing in the old church in Bethlehem, close to the spot where Jesus was born. Now, the whole church was singing hour after hour hymns of praise to God. And it was as if I could hear angelic voices telling each other of the wonderful night of our dear Savior's birth." 2 years later, in 1867, this pastor, Philip Brooks, put his pen to paper and wrote a very special and very biblical song that we often hear and we just sung during this Christmas season. "O Little Town of Bethlehem." What a special town it is to us today. And we're going to take a few minutes and look at this morning. And just so you know, this is not going to be a complete message today. We're only going to get through a couple of points of this. And we'll finish it up next Sunday as we continue to look at this passage of Scripture and this prophecy of Micah that he made. Let's read these first seven verses here. He says, "Now muster yourselves in troops, daughter of troops. They have laid siege against us. With a rod they will smite the judge of Israel on the cheek. But as for you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah. For you one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. His going forth are long ago from the days of eternity. Therefore he will give them up until the time when she who is in labor has borne a child. Then the remainder of his brethren will return to the sons of Israel. And he will arise and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will remain, because at that time he will be great to the ends of the earth. This one will be our peace. When Assyria invades our land, when he tramples in our citadels, then we will raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 leaders of men. They will shepherd the land of Assyria with the sword, the land of Nimrod at its entrance. And he will deliver us from the Assyrian when he attacks our land, and when he tramples our territory. Then the remnant of Jacob will be among many peoples, like dew from the Lord, like showers of vegetation, which do not wait for man, or delay for the sons of men." A prophet by the name of Micah. This was a tough time. The prophet Micah is making a prophecy about Jesus Christ 700 years before his birth. And the context of this prophecy takes place shortly after the mighty Assyrian army had come in. They had scattered the 10 northern tribes into exile. But the message also applies to the southern kingdom, which was destroyed by the Babylonians 135 years later. In both of these situations, the kings were humiliated. They were hit in the face. And then in Isaiah 10:5, the Assyrian army is referred to as a rod. When a king is struck on the cheek with a rod, it represents one of the worst possible insults that could be. So this is all going on, and they are told to muster your troops, which is a summons to get ready, to defend yourselves. When we know that today, when we see the troops called out, we know that there's something going on, and there's a call to defense. And this is what the call is here, a call to defend themselves, because there's a great battle that's going to take place. Jerusalem is referred to as the daughter of troops. And just like today and that day, Jerusalem was a place where there was a lot of conflict and there was a lot of war. It was a tough time. It was a very serious time. Now, they were able to push the Assyrians away from Jerusalem, but after Assyria imploded, Babylon came on the scene and destroyed Jerusalem, and that ended the reign of the last recorded king from David's line. Persia took over Babylon as the world power. And the Greeks then conquered the Persians, who were later destroyed by the Romans. Now, we talked a little about that last week. Who were in power when Christ was born. With these things looking extremely bleak, the promise remained of a coming shepherd king who was to be born in Bethlehem. What a great prophecy that this coming. In all the turmoil and all the things that are happening and all the problems that are going on, there's a king that's coming. There's a king that's promised. There's peace that is coming. Micah's name means "Who is like Yahweh?" The name of Micah is a great name. Who is like Yahweh? Who is like God? There's none like God. There's no one like Him. There's no one that loves us the way God loves us. Y'all realize that? As we come to this Christmas season, with all the things going on around us, with all the turmoil in our country, with all the things going on in the world around us, God is still God. And there's no one like Him. He's still in control. Even though this world looks totally out of control right now. God is not surprised by what is going on. He knows what's going on now. He knew what was going on then. Judah and Israel had risen to heights of material affluence, but had fallen to the depths of moral decadence. That sounds a lot like America today. We've become rich, but we've taken our eyes off of God. We've forgotten what His Word tells us. There's a prophecy going on here. Judah's about to fall. Israel is about to fall. They're coming down. And it's going to be a mighty fall. Because they're taking their eyes off of God. They're putting their eyes on themselves. They're putting them out there. They become prideful. And they need help. So Micah comes with a warning. We see here, Micah warned the people about the evil influence of the pagan religions that were taking place. And he spoke about social injustices that were taking place as well. And all of his sermons that he's given, all of the prophecies that he is talking about, in the context of an impending threat from the nation of Assyria, that was going to come in 721 B.C. and destroy Israel. Micah wanted the people to know about their sins. He was calling the people to repentance of sin. And he wanted them to see that what was going to cause the nation to implode inwardly and be destroyed and attacked outwardly were taking place. And they needed to realize where they were in their sin. You know, it's exactly what we're seeing in America today. The same prophecies that he's making at this time for Israel. You know, we've said for many years, you know, the only way America is ever going to fall is from the inside out. And that's what we're doing. Pride and all the other things that go with that. One of the Proverbs says, you know, pride cometh before the fall. We have become a very prideful people. We like to hold our head up. We like to stick our chest out. We like to talk about who we are. And we've forgotten that we're sinners, saved by grace. The church needs to step back and take a look at who we are, what our purpose is, what our goals are, why we're here, the real battles that we are facing, the spiritual battles, the need of this world that is around us, that is not looking to Jesus. As we look around, we see an America that needs to hear Micah's warning. We see a church that needs to hear Micah's warning as we come to this time. And we're going to spend the rest of this morning talking about this little town called Bethlehem. A little town called Bethlehem. The contrast is where we're going to begin. Verse 2 reads as this, "But it's for you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah. From you one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. His going forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity." You know, verse 2 begins with these words, "But you." In the Hebrew, there's an accent mark over this phrase, which serves as a grammatical pause, and this is followed by the expression, "O Bethlehem." "But you, O Bethlehem." He's making a contrast between the dire situation in Jerusalem and the coming victory that is coming in Bethlehem. And most people are going to miss the victory that's coming in Bethlehem. A king to be born in a stable, laid in a manger. And his name is Jesus. We don't need to miss that. We don't need to miss that as we go through this Christmas season. We don't need to miss that as we come into the house of God. Week after week, month after month, year after year. We're here to bring praise and honor and glory to the name of Jesus Christ. He is our King. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. He is why we are here. He has given us eternal life. He has given us victory. Now, folks, yeah, I don't know what situation you may be in life. I don't know what's going on in your home, in your heart, in your family. But I know this. I know Jesus Christ is present. And He is at work. And He loves you. And He cares about you. And, folks, there's victory coming. May not be in your time. May not be in your way. May not be what the world considers a victory. But folks, they didn't consider the cross a victory either. When Jesus went to that grave and rose from the grave, He conquered sin, He conquered death, He conquered Satan, He conquered hell. He brought victory to our lives. For those of us who know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we know we have eternal life in Jesus Christ. Are you there this morning? Do you have that peace in your heart? Do you have that victory in your life? Folks, when we have that victory in our lives, we don't have to worry about what's coming. Because we know we have life in Jesus Christ. Too many times we spend a lot of time worrying about tomorrow. Worrying about what's going to take place. Worrying about getting this accomplished, or this thing happening, or how things are going to work out. And we forget God's guidance in His hand. And He's going to take whatever circumstances we're in and use them to bring honor and glory to His name if we'll just allow Him to do it. Y'all realize that? He's at work. He is at work. Ephrathah, I have to pause when I say that. Ephrathah is the ancient name of a district of Bethlehem and was used to distinguish it from other towns of the same name. There were other Bethlehems in the area, so this Bethlehem is distinguished by this name so that they'll know which one it is. I'm from Winfield, Alabama. And Alabama distinguishes that from Winfield, Kansas, or any other Winfield that there may be. And this Bethlehem is distinguished. It's pointed out for which Bethlehem that it is. This Bethlehem is going to have an important role in the birth of Jesus Christ. And there's a distinction here. Did you see what they said? It said about Bethlehem, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah. Too small. Too small. You know, we're from a small town, aren't we? Wilsonville, Alabama. City of around 1,800. Very small. I'm from a small town in North Alabama. I had about 4,000 people. A little bit larger than here, but not considered a major city. Most people have never heard of Winfield, Alabama. When the committee called me to come to Wilsonville, they called and they said, we were from Wilsonville Baptist Church. We'd like to talk to you about coming to be our pastor. Will you talk with us? And I said, well, I'll talk with any church that calls. Where's Wilsonville? Because I had no idea. I had never heard of Wilsonville. But Wilsonville is a very special place. Has very special people. And we're thankful that God moved us here 20 years ago. And has left us here for that amount of time to serve and to reach out. But each tribe was divided into thousands, which they called clans. But if the community was too small to get 1,000 people together, they were put into another tribe. Bethlehem was one of those. They were so lowly, they weren't even counted among the possessions of Judah. They weren't even pointed out. The division under Joshua omits Bethlehem. If you look back in Joshua 15, Bethlehem's not mentioned. It was a village that was despised because it was small. There was a girl in our class that always wanted to get out of Winfield. And when last time I saw her, which was years ago when we were at church in Winfield, she came up to me and she said, "Have you got out of here yet?" And to me, it wasn't about getting out of here. And she was kind of disappointed that I had gone from a city of 4,000 to a city of 1,800. Which, to me, it's not about that. It's about being where God wants you to be, when God wants you to be there, doing what God wants you to do. But sometimes we get to thinking, I've got to be in the big places, I've got to be doing the big things, I've got to be... And sometimes the big things are in the small places. And that's what we're going to see in Bethlehem. We're going to see a city that Judah doesn't even count. Been one of the greatest places in the history of mankind. Bethlehem. Jesus spent time with those the world considered small and insignificant. Gideon said in Judges 6:15, after God told him how he wanted to use him, "Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." Sometimes we need to realize great things come out of small places. And sometimes when we humble ourselves and allow God to be who He is and we realize who we are, we begin to allow Him to be the God that He longs to be in our lives. Let's look at a few parallels about Bethlehem, some things that are very important. Rachel gave birth to Benjamin in Bethlehem. We see that in Genesis 35. Before she died, she called her son Benoni, which means the son of sorrow. But his father Jacob called him Benjamin, which means the son of the right hand. Now the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, He came into a world filled with sorrow. He came into a world that was struggling. He came into a nation that was looking and longing for a Messiah. At Christmas, Jesus came into our mess. We still got a mess, don't we? We still got a mess many times because we take our eyes off of Jesus and who He is. He was truly the man of sorrows, as stated in Isaiah 53. And He's truly the Son of the Father's right hand. Son of God coming to this earth to give His life for us, to bring victory in all the defeat, to bring hope in all the hopelessness, to bring peace in all the turmoil. Folks, if your life is filled with turmoil right now, look to Jesus. He will be your peace. Boaz redeemed Ruth from her poverty in Bethlehem. Ruth was a foreign refugee who found redemption from her pain and her past in Bethlehem. Now, Jesus, our Redeemer, came to earth at Bethlehem to redeem us from our sin. Aren't you thankful for Jesus? You know, as you look at Ruth, she was one in need. She needed someone, and Boaz was her Redeemer. In the greater ways, we needed Jesus. We need Jesus in our life. We need Jesus in our hearts, in our homes, in our churches. King David was born in Bethlehem, and he was also anointed a king there. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, in the line and the lineage of David. Bethlehem means house of bread. Ephrathah means fruitfulness. We learn in John 6:35 that Jesus is the bread of life. He is the bread that we need to live. He is the bread that we need to draw our strength from. He is the bread that we need that gives us the strength to go forth each day and do the things that we need to do to bring honor and glory to His name. In John 6:35, He says, "Whoever comes to Me shall not hunger. Shall not hunger." Because we live in a world that's starving to death. And I'm not talking about physical food here. I'm talking about spiritually. Spiritually starving to death. Looking everywhere for anything that they can find. You've heard me say this many times through the years. I believe everybody's looking for Jesus. I just believe that most people are looking in the wrong places. People are looking into drugs. People are looking into alcohol. People are looking into politics. People are looking into this and that and the other, hoping to find something to feed their hunger. People are looking for power. People are looking for money. People need to be looking to Jesus. He is the answer. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we talked a couple of weeks ago about living here in America. We're some of the richest people in the world materially. If you know Jesus, you are some of the richest people in the world spiritually. Along with all others who know Jesus. Heirs to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Who provides for all our needs. People are starving to death all around us. And it is to take the Word of God, the bread of life, from this room to the world. We need to invite them in. We need to share with them what God has given to us. We need to show them in our lives and our love for them the love of Jesus Christ. Because there is no greater love. There is no greater peace. There is no greater hope. The Messiah had to come through the tribe of Judah to fulfill the prophecies. Bethlehem's in Judah. The genealogy of Jesus is traced through Judah. Genesis 49:10 states that the ruler would come out of Judah. The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff between his feet, until he comes to whom it belongs, and the obedience of the nation is his. Folks, being where God wants you to be and doing what God wants you to do, when God wants you to be there, folks, that's important in our lives. As we look at Bethlehem, little place in Judah. It was not one of the places that people would point you to. It was not one of the places that would seem like one of the most important places in history. But it is. It's a place where God chose to come to this earth in the form of a man by the name of Jesus Christ. A man who was coming to live a sinless life and then lay that pure, holy, precious blood on a cross to be shed for our sin and give us the greatest victory that we could ever have. Because, folks, as Christians, we don't need to fear death. We don't need to fear Satan. Satan has no control over us except for what we give it. Because we have Jesus. We have Jesus. Is He your Savior? Do you follow Him as your Lord? Have you given Him complete control of your life and all that is going on and all the things that are happening? Are you where you're supposed to be? Are you doing what you're supposed to do? Are you following God's leadership in your life, in your home, in your family? Do others see Jesus in you? As we come to Christmas time, it becomes a very busy time. There are a lot of things going on. We're running, we're going, we're doing. There are presents to buy, there are parties to go to. There are all these things that consume our lives. We move closer and closer to December the 25th, which is a day set aside to remember the birth of Jesus Christ. How present is He in your home? How present is He in all the things that you were doing? Does He come first? Does He come second? Does He come at all? We see a nation, Israel. They're looking for a Messiah. They're looking for someone to come in and save the day. The sad part is they weren't looking for Jesus. Jesus comes, and they miss Him. The shepherds were there. The wise men came from afar. But most people, they miss Him. They missed a very special night. They missed Jesus. But here's a problem we have in America today. We're missing Jesus. We're caught up in all the stuff. With all the political things going on right now, everybody's pointing fingers, calling names, and all these things. We see Christians that are not coming to church. not joining together in the celebration of Jesus Christ, not just at Christmas, but all the time. We've gotten caught up in all the wrong stuff. Folks, where is our attitude this morning? What is Jesus speaking to your heart about today? What needs to happen in your life and in your home at this moment to show everyone around that Jesus Christ is truly your Savior and your Lord? I invite you to come to the altar this morning. I'll be here at the front. Others here to pray with you. Let's let God have victory today. Father, as we come before you right now, we bring you praise. We thank you that you are willing to come to this earth. We thank you for the celebration that we have at this time of year as we remember your coming to this earth to give your life on the cross for our sins. Father, we pray today that as you speak, that we would listen, that we would follow you. I thank you that you love us the way that you do. And you don't give up on us. They continue to draw us to you. And we pray right now as we go through this time for your will to be accomplished. I thank you that you will accept us just the way we are. Father, we pray this morning that you help us to come in that way, humble before you, and allow you to give victory. Forgive us, God, in your name. Amen. We stand and we sing this morning. You come.